Welcome to Next Steps, a podcast from Black Hawk Church. We believe that following Jesus is a lifelong journey. So no matter where you're at, there's always a next step to take. Each week on this podcast, we'll create space for real conversations about the questions we wrestle with, the challenges we face, and the hope we find in Jesus. Our goal isn't to have it all perfectly figured out, but to walk faithfully towards Jesus together. We're so glad you're joining us. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and thanks for joining today's conversation. I'm your host, Christian Eggers, and this week we are wrapping up our series, Can I Ask That? So on Sundays, we're jumping into some big questions that people might have about faith, and then on the podcast, we're diving deeper, responding to some different questions that we don't have time to get into on Sunday mornings. So for today's conversation, I'm joined by our senior pastor, Matt Metzger, and we're asking the question, how do we share our faith? So thanks for joining us, Matt. You ready?
Hey, thanks for having me, Christian. this is super fun. And I'm really, really excited to dive into this subject.
Yeah, it's a good one. There's a lot of different ways for us to do this. I feel like most of us, if we've been following Jesus for some time, we kind of know we should share our faith. We're supposed to do that. But we all have different personalities and wiring. And so then the how becomes real complicated. It can feel complicated.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, not only that, but then there's the fear factor of how it is that we're going to come across in the midst of it all.
Totally. And I think we probably all have different experiences, either personally or we've like witnessed on TV or movies or the news. We've seen this go wrong in a million ways too.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, well, we want to avoid doing it like this or like that, but we know we're called to share our faith with people. So Right. What does that look like?
Yeah. So what in the world is that supposed to look like in today's day and age? Yep. Yeah. That's absolutely it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start here. This feels like a really important place to start. Why do we need to tell people about our faith? Like, should we just let people choose their own paths? Why is it a big deal for us to share our faith?
Yeah, well, I could easily land on the biblical mandate that we're given as believers to share our faith. Yeah. You know, Jesus made that pretty clear as he was leaving this world, that was a call that was to be on all of our lives. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.
Yeah. And it's Matthew 28.
Matthew 28, if you want to take a look at it. And we talk about that a lot around Black Hawk. Yeah. So anyway, with that, there is this calling for any of us who place our faith in Jesus that we have been invited into what we like to call around here this worldwide restoration project of transforming the world into what God intended it to be from the beginning. And there's different elements of that. There's the element of how do we live our lives with in the perspective of moving towards justice in this world, of forgiveness and grace, of restoration, of trying to transform the world and people within the world into what God desired for it to be from the beginning, that it would be this world filled with goodness and beauty and everything it was before the fall. Mm-hmm. We're never going to get there until Jesus returns, but it was something we were called into. But then with that, there is this element of helping people to understand who Jesus is. And if we believe the idea that, man, we have the opportunity to be in right relationship with God through Jesus, then it's something that really when we take it, like when it really all is boiled down to that perspective, it's something that we should want for every human being on the planet. And it can be really easy for that to get muddy and murky and cloudy. And yet the reality is, if we believe that people have the opportunity to be in right relationship with the God of the universe, and the way to get there is through Jesus, there should be something inside of us that compels us to want to see people understand that they can make their own decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we live in this age, and it's like our culture too, in America, 21st century, where we so value like individual choice. And
absolutely.
And there's such an emphasis, like we don't want to impede on anyone's individuality or their decisions to like live their life the way they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it kind of, that's in a way, it like rubs up our against our culture of like, okay, but we want to tell people about this, the best news ever, basically.
Yeah. I think that so much of that, I mean, it comes down, I think in some ways to like, negative examples that we've seen of the way that people have shared their faith in the past. And for so many of us, like we have stories of people who tried to do that with us in the past or different places. You know, like you go down, I can't think of the amount of times that I've gone down to State Street and been on campus and seen somebody with signs.
Or megaphones.
And absolutely. Yeah. And just yelling and screaming at people. Or the person who is like doing it kind of like in a, I don't know, there are ways that people can do it that it just can come across kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. You know, people can have an agenda. And I think one of the biggest things I always try to help people understand is that, look, our job as Christians is not to convince people of what it is that they need to believe. I think that sometimes we can feel the pressure that that's the goal of what we're supposed to do because we see that lived out by people that, in my opinion, in a lot of cases are doing it wrong. My job is just simply to be able to tell people what it is that I've experienced, to tell people my story and what I've experienced in my relationship with God, rather than moving towards this perspective that I'm supposed to try to convince someone of what it is that they need to believe. I don't think that anybody has ever been coerced or forced into the kingdom of God. I don't ever see Jesus doing that with people. And if our job is to be able to emulate what it is that he lived, that my job is simply just to be able to tell people the story of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to do work within inside of them. Because the reality is none of us actually on our own can lead somebody to faith. Like I think that we all would believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who actually is drawing people to himself. And I think that's one of the things that we're seeing right now. I don't know. I think there is something going on like in the world today that we're catching glimpses of the Holy Spirit is doing some deep work in people's lives to cause them to be more curious than they've been in the past. I've been doing this with college students and 20-somethings, and I mean, before that in youth ministry with some of the things that I was doing in Florida, and there is a curiosity that I am seeing happen in the generation today that I haven't seen in my lifetime. And I just really believe it's the Holy Spirit drawing people to himself. And we kind of need to bank on that, you know, because the reality is that it's none of us that can actually change somebody's heart. The Holy Spirit has to be doing work in somebody's life. And so my job is just simply to tell my story and then allow the Holy Spirit to do work. And I think that that oftentimes happens through multiple conversations that people have with multiple different people to where they finally get to the place of where they place their faith in Jesus.
That's so good. Yeah, I feel like we need to know when it comes to sharing our faith, we need to know what our role is.
Yes.
We need to know what the Holy Spirit's role is and to not get those two things confused.
Absolutely.
Like, and they're both essential. Like, I mean, even that being said, like the Holy Spirit can reach people in all kinds of ways.
Yes.
And so you don't know how he might use you as a piece of someone's story, big or small or whatever the case may be. But there is like this invitation before all of us. Like we can assume, you should assume that the Holy Spirit wants to use you to reach the people around you.
I mean, the reality is I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to draw everyone to himself. And so if we believe that, then one, I don't have to put the pressure on myself that somehow I have to play God in this situation, but I have to trust God, that God desires that person actually to come to know him more than I do.
Right.
And so my job is to just play whatever role it is that he's putting in front of me without feeling the pressure to somehow like seal the deal, you know? So, but no, I'm like for so many of us, like it talks about in scripture, the way that, you know, I mean, we're to sprinkle seed, you know, in the lives of people. And I don't know if I'm the seed sprinkler or the waterer or the one who's actually going to get to harvest whatever it is that God's doing in somebody's life, but I have to trust the process of what God's doing that's way bigger than what I can see and just simply play whatever role he's giving me. And a lot of times that's not clear as I'm talking with somebody, but I just need to be a person who's able to trust that, man, God's doing something in their life that's bigger than me. Yeah. And he's on a timeline that's different than mine. And I can trust that and play whatever role he places in front of me.
Yeah, that's so good. Such a good perspective shift too.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off.
Totally.
Because I think for so many of us, I think that the thing is we feel we can easily feel like, I don't know if I want to share. I don't know if I know exactly what to say.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer the questions that they have. And that's intimidating. I mean, it's like the funny thing. Like I'm, you know, like Christian, you and I are, we're like the professional Christians. We kind of get paid for this for a living. Mm-hmm. And I still get nervous, you know, sharing with people, wondering like, what are they going to ask that I'm not going to know how to answer?
Or are my answers going to be satisfactory? Like I got the answers that are satisfactory for me.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, I've settled a lot of these questions. Not everyone, like, our faith doesn't exist without doubt and questions. They're always there.
Absolutely.
But it's like, okay, yeah, I've come to the place where I believe this, where I like these answers are sufficient for me.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're going to be sufficient for the next person.
That's exactly it. Are they just going to end up looking at you with like a raised eyebrow or that like blank glazed over stare of like, I have no idea what you're talking about. That can easily happen.
Yep.
You know, but again, it's like if we can take the pressure off of ourselves to just simply share our story and what we've experienced with Jesus and yet feel the confidence to be able to step in and share those things, I really believe that God desires to use us in the lives of people more so than we realize.
Yeah, totally. I do think we're often surprised too in the way God uses us. It's like, whoa, like,
definitely.
Where did that come from?
Definitely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I think that for a lot of us, like we have this picture that somehow like if a conversation like that comes up, like we're going to offend people. We're going to somehow like hit a nerve with them or step on their toes. I mean, to be honest, I just haven't had a lot of experiences where that's happened with me.
You're also a pretty nice, charismatic guy.
That can help, you know, but with it, I honestly, I get into conversations with people about Jesus and I think in the back of my mind, like, I don't want to tick them off. I don't want to frustrate them, but that just doesn't happen oftentimes. And they want to hear my story. They're more interested in what it is that I have to say or what it is that I believe and why I believe it more so than I realize. Yeah. And the things that I think are going to offend them, actually, oftentimes they don't offend them, especially if I'm not telling them that that's exactly what they have to believe.
Well, I think that's where a lot of it comes down to is like, if you genuinely care for the person in front of you,
mm-hmm.
like, and are relational, which I feel like is totally what we see in the example of Jesus. Like every person he interacted with, he's like, I care about you.
Right.
And that gives the ability to
yes.
like answer
yes.
the questions and to speak into someone's yeah. life or circumstance
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like that's a key place to start is like, do you care for the person
yeah.
that's sitting in front of you that you're telling Jesus about? Hopefully,
yeah. Yeah.
probably.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like one of the sermons that I have a sermon coming up. I'm not sure if this is going to be out by the time that I'm giving that sermon or if this is after it, but I'm talking some about the story of the rich young ruler and then the story of Zacchaeus. And I'm getting a chance to kind of take a look at those, compare those to each other. But there's a verse in the story of the rich young ruler that actually I feel like we overlook a lot of times. You know, this guy comes to Jesus, says, what do I have to do to gain eternal life? Jesus starts going through all of these different things, and the guy says, yeah, I've done all that stuff. And right before Jesus gets into go and sell all your possessions and then come follow me, knowing that that was going to be the thing for this guy, that was like, that was the biggest test for him because that was the thing that was closest to his heart. But the thing it says right before that, it says Jesus looked at him and loved him. It's like there's this element of Jesus looking at him and not saying like, okay, fine, I'm going to lay down the hammer with you right now. No, it says that he looked at him and loved him. Like he had deep compassion for this guy. And I think there's an element for us anytime we're talking to people where it's like if we look at people and go, okay, no, I really care about you. I care about your eternal life. And so I'm just simply going to share with you what it is that I know and the experiences that I've had because we're having this conversation. I deeply care about you and I want you to understand it.
Yeah. Yep. That's such an essential place to start.
Yeah.
All right. Are you good if we jump into maybe a little bit of like some myth busting when it comes to sharing our faith?
Absolutely. I love those.
Great. I feel like we have a lot of assumptions that might not be helpful or true.
Yeah.
So in my role with young adult ministry, part of my job is to kind of like be aware of like the data and the statistics of where are young adults at, where are people at in our nation, how do we keep like meeting people where they're at. And so one of the things that we see is like most people in the U.S. statistically have heard about Jesus before.
Right.
They've learned about him. So you're not often in the U.S. going to be talking to someone who's hearing about Jesus for the first time.
Very first
from
time.
You.
Right.
And so then I could see how it might be easy to assume like since they've already heard about him, they've already rejected him. So should we really be trying to like convince these people if they've already made their decision about Jesus?
Right.
Like,
right.
What would you say to that?
Yeah, I can understand why people would get there, but I would go again back to the fact that if we believe that the Holy Spirit is doing work in people's lives over their entire life to hopefully draw them to himself, that we have to believe that we're going to play a role in that. We have the opportunity to play a role in that in some way, shape, or form. So like if I believe, well, the person heard and they made their decision and that's it. Let me tell you, if someone thought that about me or thought that about, I'm guessing for the majority of us who are listening to this right now, there are a lot of us who might not ever have come to know the Lord. Right. Because how many, like I think about like, like, okay, growing up, I grew up in a Christian family, but my guess is I don't know which of probably the 14 times that I accepted Jesus was the one that really stuck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Like, it's like every camp that I went to, every speaker that I heard, I don't know which is the one where it's like, I honestly got it. And I think that our faith grows over time to where it's like every one of those, I'm just understanding a deeper level of what faith truly looks like,
yeah.
You know, but with it, it's like, if someone had just said, the first time Matt heard it. So he doesn't need to hear it any longer. I don't need to play a role in that. I don't want to potentially offend him. Well, then people are missing out on the opportunity to help me to truly understand who Jesus is. Right. And so I think that we have to be able to see there's a bigger picture of what's going on in people's lives, of what God's doing that he invites us into, more than just assuming they've heard it, they've made their decision, they're done. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times that I've had conversations with people where I kind of took a step in faith that I was a step in faith that I was supposed to talk to somebody at that moment. And they said to me, you have no idea. Like, I have been praying that I would have the opportunity to actually have a conversation with someone like this.
Wow.
So, you know, like, I'm telling you, God is just, he is deep at work in the lives of people and he invites us into it. And the more that we are like, that we step into it, not because of our ability, but just our availability, I think we would see God use us in ways that really surprise us. Because it's ultimately not about me. It's about what God's doing in the life of somebody, and he desires to use us. And I can remember there was this one time where I was having a conversation. It was with a person on campus. And, you know, we're in the middle of this situation. We get into a conversation about Jesus. And this guy is like, I can't believe that we're having this conversation. Like, I just had a conversation with a family member of mine who was encouraging me to dive deeper into this stuff, and I didn't know exactly what to do with it. And now you're here today, and we're having this conversation. And the guy accepted Jesus as a savior. I had no idea the conversations that, like, he had had with his grandma a week before that, and the things that he was wondering about in his mind. And he'd heard the gospel so many times in his life and then kind of walked away from it all and never really came to the place of where he had accepted Jesus. And then he has a conversation with grandma. It sparks all kinds of things in him. And I get to be the person who, in that situation, got to seal the deal and see the way that it happened. But it wasn't because of me and my words. It was the Holy Spirit working, my availability, and everything that had happened in his life up to that point. So I think that when we don't step into those moments and we just assume that, well, they made their decision, we're missing out on the work that God is doing in their lives to continue to draw them to himself.
Totally. And I feel like you also don't know the story behind the rejection, usually.
Right.
Like, if someone has either walked away or is like, I can't accept Jesus because of these reasons or whatever. Like, there's oftentimes There can be a misunderstanding that's behind that. There can be a hurt or an experience that needs to be healed that's behind that. And so you just don't know what God's just continuing to do in people over time.
I'm telling you, and you like, there have been times like where I've been having a conversation with somebody and I feel like the Spirit of God is working and we're going towards everything in the gospel and they're understanding all of it. I feel like this is the moment where the deal is going to be sealed. They're going to make a decision and they don't. And I'm like,
what?
You got to be kidding me. How in the world? Like,
I gave you everything.
Exactly. You understood all of it. And we're not going to do that right now. And I'm like, I put my A game out and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And then I get a phone call from that person 3 months later that they were watching TV and like a touching Coca-Cola commercial came on and it reminded them of their aunt so-and-so who passed away and who had once shared and they placed their faith in Jesus. And I'm like, really? It was the Coke commercial that ended up doing it more than what happened? But again, it's like we don't know the role that God's giving us to play in the deal and the way that he's working in people's lives, drawing them to himself.
Right. And that's like at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's not about us and our perfect presentation.
Exactly.
It's just about what God's up to in the life.
It's about just simply sharing my story. What have I experienced in my relationship with Jesus?
That's so good.
Yeah.
Anything else on that? Are you ready for another minute?
I'm good. Keep going.
All right.
Let's do this.
Okay, next one. This is one that I hear a lot, especially from young people.
Yeah.
Is the idea that, well, all roads ultimately lead to Jesus.
Yeah.
So, like, can't we just let people do faith their own way, however they want to do it? Or maybe something specific that I hear sometimes is like, oh, well, I believe in Jesus, but I also, like, want to do Buddhism or all these other things.
Yeah.
And this kind of, this idea that all roads ultimately lead to the same place.
Yeah.
What would you say to that?
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And I actually get where that's coming from because I, you know, it's funny. I was just having a conversation with somebody about this subject last week. And I think that that comes from a desire that all of us have to see the good in people and to desire to see all people get to the place of having eternal life. Yeah. Because somehow it's like we buy into the idea that we're good enough to get there on our own and God's good enough to accept everybody. And but that's actually not the story, not just of the Bible. It's not the story of, so if we go back to really the three main faiths that Abraham is given the role of being the father of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, none of them would actually say that.
Right.
And that's the interesting thing. There, years ago, we did this, we did a series when I was doing college ministry called The Star, the Cross, and the Crescent, where we brought in an expert on Judaism and then an expert on Islam and then an expert on Christianity to talk about the three different religions. And then the fourth week of the series, those three experts came together to have the conversation together of the differences and what that looked like. And the interesting thing that we did was that for all of us who were doing that series, we decided that during the weeks that we were doing it, we were going to spend time together. Mm-hmm. We were grabbing meals together. It was really fun. I went to an Islamic comedy show called Allah Made Me Funny. Rachel and I went with this guy from Islam and his wife.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we were getting to know these people really well. And the reason why we did that was because we wanted to have the conversation from a place of friendship more so than just a place of debate. And so the guy who was from the a Muslim, he in this conversation there was a student who stood up and it was me and him and this other person, you know, kind of up front, person from the Jewish faith, and there was a student that stood up and asked that very question. Don't all paths? I mean, I get the idea. It's good to learn these things, but don't all paths lead
the same God?
Mountain?
Yeah.
And Mahmoud stood up. He said, "Hold on." He said, "Let me stop you right there." And he came and he put his arm around me. He said, "This is my friend Matt, and I love him, and I know that he believes that I won't spend eternity with God because of what I believe." And I'll tell you that I don't believe that he's going to spend eternity because of what he believes. He said, you see, you all have to realize if we get to the depth of what it is that we believe, man, none of us, if we really get to the depth of it, believe that all paths lead up the same mountain. But that doesn't mean that we can't love each other now. And I think that the thing that the Western world has bought into is the only way that we can truly love each other is if we say, I fully believe your belief and I fully believe your belief and my belief is fine. So whichever one you choose is completely okay. That's the only way that we can actually love each other. Because if we don't say those things, then somehow that's showing hatred towards each other. And there's a deeper understanding of those things to say, look, I don't believe that what you're saying is true. But that doesn't mean that I can't move towards you and I can't love you in the process of it. We think that the only way that I can show love is by agreeing with everything it is that you're saying. And that's actually not a true statement. So when it comes to the element of Christianity, I mean, John 14:6, the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed, the night of the Last Supper, he's with his disciples. One of the things that he says is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I mean, you think about that. Jesus is just about to go to the cross. He understands the weight of everything that's on his shoulders and what's about to take place because of what he's about to do. He's opening the door for us to be in relationship with God because of his death and resurrection. And that's the reason why we believe as Christ followers. It is the only way, is because God had to be the one to die. And so I look at it and I want people to understand that side. Yes, we believe that the only way to be in right relationship with God is through Jesus. That doesn't give me license to be able to hate people. It doesn't. But it also doesn't give me license to say that every path leads up the same mountain. And the hard thing in Western society is when people hear that, they think that I can't be loving towards other people. And if we don't live that out personally, then we're actually not living out who we're supposed to be as Christ followers.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can, at the end of the day, to be so clear, all roads don't lead to the same place.
No.
That's not the conviction of Christianity.
No.
And that's a hard truth to wrestle with.
Absolutely. It's one that I know for a lot of people, it causes people to move away from Christianity. But the reality is if they get to the depth of the Muslim faith or Jewish faith, really any faith.
It all is the same, actually. Yeah. Each faith, even if it doesn't on the surface seem to have that exclusion, that's what we would call it, exclusionary faith, they all ultimately lead that way. Because these things, anytime we're talking about like universal truths, it's like it's either true or it's not.
For those big three, that is definitely true.
Yeah.
To where they would say, yep, that for any of them, they would say that they're exclusive.
Yeah.
And so, but the problem comes in with if I say that someone is wrong, it must mean that I hate them. And that's not the case. That's not who we are called to be as believers. Yeah. So, I mean, scripture says it's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. The thing that moves us towards Jesus is the fact of us being kind and loving with people and helping people to see Jesus that way. So if we miss that boat and somehow see, man, our exclusive call is the right to be able to look down on and hate people, we're completely missing the mark of who Jesus embodied.
Totally. And as much as we want people to come to know Jesus and to be saved, like God wants that all the more.
Absolutely.
Like way more than we could comprehend.
He absolutely
wants, desires that everyone would be saved.
Yes.
So, yeah. All right. Can we go towards another one?
Yeah. I'll sit all here right. all day. Put a quarter in me and tell me when to be done.
Okay. So this is one I feel for sure.
Yeah.
So it can feel really awkward to share your faith. We've all seen people be pushy, whether that's like the turn and burn style or let me tell you these things, these eight things I need to tell you and then you're going to believe or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
And I feel like most of us, we don't want to be like that.
Yep.
Like, okay, I don't want to imitate that. I don't think that's very loving or kind or whatever. So how do we share our faith without being pushy like that?
Yeah, that is such a good question. Oh my gosh. Okay, and let me just be honest. I could tell you so many stories of times where it's just gotten weird and awkward. Like it just happens. It does happen. And we've got to be okay just sort of stepping into it to know like there are times where you're going to bring something up and it is going to like, it's going to hit like it's going to drop like a lead balloon and just not work well and not go anywhere. And you're going to be like, why exactly did I do that?
Did God not ask me to say that?
Right.
Thing
exactly. Whatever? Yeah, totally. Yeah. But then there are other times where it's like, you don't bring anything up and you look back and you go, should I have brought something up in that moment? So I feel like for me, I try to be prayerful when I am with people to be open to the opportunities that God's laying in front of me. I just want to be, it's like, I want to try to be aware of what God is doing and to be open to step into those places when he wants me to step in. And so for me, it starts with prayer. You know, anytime that I'm headed somewhere that, you know, regardless if it's a party or a coffee shop, you know, or down on campus or to a game or whatever, I just want to be present with, okay, God, what are you up to in this moment? And how is it that you might want to use me? So I feel like that's part of it. And then with it too, I think that we can step into things to make it awkward, but actually I don't think that people feel as awkward about having the conversation as we do. You know, I think that there are times where things come around to spiritual stuff. I mean, granted, it's funny for me, I feel like with being a pastor, it kind of opens the door sometimes. It also can really shut down the door too.
Yeah, before it even starts.
I actually hate telling some people, I'll tell people, like sometimes like when I'm in a situation, I tell people I work for a nonprofit more so than like I'm a pastor.
Because especially on airplanes. Every time I'm on an airplane, I'm like,
you say I'm a pastor and like those earbuds go in so fast of the person next to you. It is so true. But again, it's like I'm trying to read the room and go, what's going to be the way that keeps a conversation going? And but I feel like people are more open, more than just about any other time I can remember to have conversations about faith. And I think that I kind of love asking people if they have a faith. Like just to bring that up, I feel like that's a pretty easy question. Hey, do you have a faith? Like, what is it that you believe in?
Yeah.
And people aren't freaked out about sharing what it is that they believe, mm-hmm. you know? And so for me growing up, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, going to Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. And the senior pastor there was a guy named D. James Kennedy, who is the founder of Evangelism Explosion, which is this large, for any of you who are older listeners right now, you might know of Evangelism Explosion. And I had the chance to actually learn under Jim Kennedy, was a part of that kind of all through high school and into college. It majorly affected my life. There was a woman who was a mentor of mine who's still alive, still speaks into my life. Her name is Carol Neal, and she shaped me and affected me big time when it comes to just the way that I share my faith. She really developed in me a passion for sharing my faith, probably more than anyone else on the planet. Mm. But there is this awkwardness that comes to it with asking questions this way. But the two questions that started with evangelism, which actually I have found that they actually work really well today, are, okay, if you were to die, what are the chances that you would go to heaven? You know, it's interesting, on Carrie Newhoff's leadership podcast, J.P. Pakluda just recently was actually talking about these two different questions because he uses them all the time. They were written like back in the 70s, and yet he's using them today. If something were to happen to you, you were to pass away, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Another way to say it is like, okay, scale of 1 to 10, what are the chances that you go to heaven? And again, it gets the wheels turning in people's mind. And then the one to follow up, if the conversation is going well, is to go towards, okay, if you were to stand before God, let's say you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Most of the time over the years, as I've used that, man, people, they will look at you and go, that's a really good question. And they go towards deeper places. And a lot of times what it does, there are the times where people turn to me and they go, how would you answer those questions? And if they do that, well, there's your open door to have all the conversation right there on what it is you believe and why you believe it. Because again, I'm not trying to coerce. I'm just simply trying to have the conversation with a person and to look for the opportunity to be able to share my story. They've just opened the door. Yeah. You know, so when that happens, it's really easy to move towards. But a lot of times people will ask different questions. We'll try to answer those questions. And the thing that I do is once they've answered it, you know, I will say to them, hey, if you ever want to hear how I would answer those questions, let me know. And most of the time people, they want to know right away. They're like, yeah, tell me. Oh, I would love to hear that. You know, and then again, I'm just simply in that place where I am able to, in a easy, simple way, to be able to share my story. So part of it is one of the things to be able to prepare with. If you've never thought about before, you need to know your story.
Yeah.
And I think that's something worth it for people to sit down and write out or type out. How is it that you came to faith? Mm-hmm. What was it?
And like, why do you believe what you believe?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just to be able to, and even to practice that. I think it's worth it to sit down with a friend sometime and to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. So that when you get into those situations, you feel like, okay, I have an idea of what I would say and how I would say it. Like in a succinct way that I can do it in 5 minutes or less to be able to share with somebody what it is that I really believe.
Yeah, or that could be a cool thing to try in community groups. If you guys are in community groups, like this could be a good thing to think about trying. Like what would that look like to have each person take a week and just talk through like, how did you come to put your faith in Jesus?
Yes. Give people a chance to ask some questions because it solidifies more what it is that it solidifies more in your mind your own story on what it is that you'd share with somebody, which I think is really important because sometimes for some of us, we're like, I don't even know how I would answer that. Great. There's a perfect place for you to start.
Yeah.
Figure out how is it that, yeah.
That's good. Okay, so related, sometimes it feels like sharing your faith can feel like, ooh, is this going to cost me a relationship or relational capital with friends or family or coworkers? And is it more important to try to protect the relationship than to like be talking about our faith? Is it one of those like, you know, like at a Thanksgiving dinner table, there's some things you just don't talk about. You just don't bring up because it's going to damage the relationships.
Yep. Totally.
And sometimes faith can be one of those things.
Yep. Absolutely.
So how would you guide us on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think with a lot of that for me, that goes back to the way that I'm praying and trying to perceive what the Holy Spirit is doing in a moment and where the doors are open and where they're not. And with that, to try to move into a situation with wisdom and discernment, like there is something about wisdom and discernment. And I think that there are times where I maybe have helped people move toward, God maybe has used me in the lives of people to draw them to himself because I haven't had the conversation, but they've had a good experience with someone who's a believer.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and granted, I have the pastor title, you know, so when someone gets together with me and they realize that I can have a conversation that doesn't move towards Jesus, but I just love people well, that actually builds collateral for potentially someday that door could open because they realize that every conversation that I have with somebody doesn't have to be centered around Jesus, but that I can display Jesus by the way that I love somebody and just move into their life. Mm-hmm. So I think that for any of us, when people know that we're Christians and yet we can just have conversations about other stuff, there's something really powerful about that. But then it's also being sensitive to the places where you feel like, okay, there's an open door. You know, oftentimes I find that those open doors can happen in conversation with someone who's really struggling, who's asking bigger questions. We've all been with people when it's like it goes from the circumstantial type of conversation to something that is deeper about a belief system that kind of opens up a door where you just have an opportunity to kind of throw, like to lob something out there and see if someone's going to bite. And there have been times where it's very obvious that they're not biting at that time, but there are plenty of times where it's like, yeah, actually they're biting. Yeah. So... And with that, it's just to realize, again, people are less afraid about having those conversations with us than we are with them.
Right.
Like, we think of it as a really big deal and a really big step. And for a lot of people, having a spiritual conversation with somebody, it's not that scary for them.
Yeah.
No. They don't see it coming, you know, and it can be just a normal part of a conversation.
Yeah.
So the more that we come across as feeling comfortable and okay going there, man, the easier it gets. And that's why I encourage people not to, again, not to get weird, you know, but just to be willing to lob it out there and to see where people bite, because the more that we get comfortable being in those type of conversations, the better that we become at it, and the more that people actually are comfortable with us doing so.
Totally. And then again, it's like sometimes you're investing in this relationship. This has happened to me. You're investing in a relationship for years and years and years, and you're just like, I don't think they're never gonna go for it.
Yep.
They're never gonna be ready for that conversation.
Yep.
But you don't know what God's doing in that person.
That's exactly.
And
it.
Even if they just know you as like a safe person to have those conversations with, to ask those questions of, that is valuable.
Yeah.
You never know when they might come back around to you.
Sometimes for me, what I do in those situations with people that I can't tell if they want to have a conversation, I'll lob stuff out and sometimes they don't bite on it. A lot of times for people, when I see them struggling, I'll ask them if I can pray for them. And I'll even say to them, hey, listen, I am going to be praying for you. What are some ways that I can do that? Okay, can I give you an example of something
That?
Okay, my dad passed away a couple of years ago. But he was a guy of prayer and faith, and he looked for opportunities to share his faith. Sometimes in situations that I thought, oh, this is awkward, even to the, like, I would never do this. So I remember one of the, you know, my dad at this point, he's in his late 70s, and I had gone down to Florida to visit him and my mom. We go out to dinner one day, me and my older sister and the two of them. And we're sitting down at this restaurant, and the waiter comes over to us, and the person taking care of the table. And my dad, like, you know, I mean, the classic old guy, he's like, hey, here, I'm Guy. This is my wife, Margie. This is my son, Matt. And my daughter, Cindy. Like the waiter really wants to know all of our names at that point, but he's doing it. And so the guy brings drinks to us, and he takes our food order. And my dad says, I forget the guy's name. We're just going to say Robert for the time. But he says, hey, Robert, he said, before our food comes, we're going to pray for our meal. Are there any ways that we can be praying for you right now? And I was ready to like dive under the table
totally.
At this point. Like, are you kidding me, Dad? I cannot believe that you're doing this. And I see the guy kind of like look awkward. And he like sort of looks at me, and I'm just sort of shrugging like, hey, it's my dad. Sorry. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you could pray for, you know, money's kind of tight for me right now. You could pray for that. And my dad's like, yeah, absolutely. I'll do that. And the guy turns to walk away, and then he turns back and he goes, actually, he said, my mom just got diagnosed with cancer too.
Mm.
And could you pray for that too? It was like, he turned around to come back to us. And my dad said, absolutely, we'll pray for that. And so, and then he was like, thank you. And he started in a little bit more, and then he had other tables he needed to do with. But there was something that spurred inside of that guy to want to open up with this 79-year-old man who was asking him if he could pray for him. And it was just a reminder to me that, like, there are all kinds of situations that we have with people who we know. And just asking them if we could pray for them, man, opens up a massive door. So, because I've never had somebody who said, actually, no, don't pray for me.
Yeah, I haven't had that either.
Never had that, you know?
Hasn't happened.
And so I think it opens a door more so than we realize.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
All right, last question. We're coming to the end here. And so I want to end with this. I feel like you are someone, and again, I don't think it's just because you're a professional Christian.
Yeah.
You got lots of practice,
right.
Although that's true.
Right.
But like, you're someone who I feel like you just get these opportunities to talk with people.
Yeah.
So do you have any like maybe practical tips of the how? Like, how do we,
it
doesn't have to be a step-by-step because
each
of these is like personal, but
how
do we go about sharing
our
faith with
others? Yeah. That's really good. You know, I think that for so many of us who are believers, like we, there's something that can feel stale about like a canned presentation.
Totally. Yeah.
And So, okay, but flip side of that, I really believe that we all need a can.
Yeah.
And so I think that you need to be able to look at whether it is the four spiritual laws mm-hmm. or the presentation that comes from Evangelism Explosion, which is still out there, which is actually, there's a lot in there. I actually use Evangelism Explosion more so than just about anything else to share my faith. I feel like there are verses that you need to memorize,
yep.
that you just need to have in the back of your mind. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through faith, this not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Different verses that just paint the picture of the gospel that
in
you
a
can
really powerful
move towards.
Way.
John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You need to take time to memorize some of those and just to have those ready.
Yep.
For me, I feel like one of the easiest ways to move towards the gospel is something that I heard Andy Stanley from North Point use years ago on John 3:16. So for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the way that Andy lays that out is really by laying it out, what does a person need to know to accept Jesus as their savior, and what do they have to do? What do they have to know? Well, for by grace we are saved through faith. That I'm saved by grace through faith. So what does a person need to know? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So I'm loved, God loved me, and so God gave
me.
He
made a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what does a Christian need to do? Well, they need to place their faith in. For God so loved the world, he gave his only one and son. So whosoever believes in or places their faith in Jesus as their savior, that they would have eternal life. So what God loved, God gave. So we believe, we have. Or if you want the mm-hmm. rhyming version, God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive.
Yeah.
So, and that's an easy way. I mean, you can literally scroll to that verse on somebody's phone, pull out John 3:16
and look
at those verses. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Just those four words. It's a really easy way to be able to lay it out. So again, I just think everybody needs a can,
mm-hmm.
and there are all kinds of great ones out there. And the more of that stuff that you actually take to learn and listen to and memorize, the more prepared that you are, which is important.
Totally. And I think the more you have that in you, then the more that you are able to like stay present in the conversation too.
Absolutely.
Like I think we've all been with or witnessed in different ways people where it's like, oh, they're so stuck in their can thing.
Yes.
That they lose sight of the person in front of them.
That's exactly
it. And so like the more that you practice that, the more that you get those things in you,
yeah.
the more you're able to like
yeah.
stay present in the moment and keep having that conversation.
Yes. And to know that with it, there are going to be those awkward moments where it's like you walk away from it and you're like, that bombed.
Yep.
That didn't,
I hope I never see that person again.
Yeah. I have no idea what the next conversation is going to be when I see my friend or whatever.
Yep.
That is okay. It is okay.
Yep.
And the reality is the Holy Spirit is working in ways that are bigger than us. My job is not to seal the deal. My job is to be faithful to what it is that God places in front of me and love people well by sharing who it is that Jesus truly is.
Yeah, that's so good. Hey, Matt, anything else you want to share with us? Parting words?
Man, parting words. I mean, for those of you who are listening, I just want to encourage you to like take some time to take some steps and figure out what it looks like for you to be able to be present with people, to be in prayer in situations like this, that the Holy Spirit would lead you, and to figure out the things you would share. I just really believe God desires to use us in the lives of people way more than we realize. And if we would follow him in that and be faithful, we'd be amazed to see what it is that God desires, not just to do in our lives, but through us in the lives of other people.
Couldn't agree more. Well, thanks, Matt. And hey, thanks everyone for listening. This is the last episode in the Can I Ask That series. And so we will be back next week with a brand new series from Tiffany Malloy. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Next Steps. Don't forget to check out the show notes for a conversation guide if you'd like to keep the conversation going. If you want to learn more about how to get connected at Blackhawk or simply find resources to help you grow, check out blackhawk.church/hub. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and subscribe so you won't miss future episodes. Until next time, let's keep following Jesus together.